"Where's the standard?" Croker demanded. "In the wagon with one eye. Sleepy put it there before." "You let it out of your control? You don't ever let it out of your control." I was thinking about giving Sleepy the job. Standard bearer was one of the hats I wore, and not one of my favorites. Now that I'm analyst, I should be passing it on. Croker has mentioned that himself on occasion. "Give me your stuff now," I told Tyday, once I had mine settled in front of me. Tyday's eyes got big as he realized what I intended. I told Mother Gota and Uncle Doge, "Stay on the stone road all the way and you'll catch up with the army. If you're stopped, show the soldiers your papers." Another innovation of the Liberator. More and more people involved in the war effort were being given bits of paper telling who they were and who was responsible for them. Since hardly anybody was literate, the effort didn't seem worthwhile. Maybe. But the old man always has his reasons, even when those are simply to confuse. Croker realized what I was doing just as I extended my hand to help Tyday climb. He opened his mouth to raise hell. I said, "Don't bother. It ain't worth a fight." Tyday looks like a skull with a thin layer of dark leather over it at the best of times. Now he looked as though he'd just heard a death sentence pronounced. "It'll be all right," I told him, realizing he'd never been on a horse. The Nguyen Bao have water buffalo and a few elephants. They don't ride those, except as children sometimes, helping with the plowing. He did not want to do it. He really did not. He looked at Uncle Doge. Doge said nothing. It was Ty Day's call. Croker must have started looking smug or something. Tyday stared at him for a moment, shuddered all over, then extended his good hand. I pulled. Tyday was as hard and tough as they came, but he weighed almost nothing. The horse gave me a look nearly as ugly as the one I'd gotten from my boss. The fact that they're capable of a job doesn't make the beasts eager to do it. "Whenever you're ready," Croker said.
"Go."
He headed out. The pace he set was savage. He rode like he could feel no pain. He grumbled and fussed at me to keep up. He grumbled even more after we collected a cavalry escort south of the city. The regular horses had no hope of matching the pace he wanted to set. He had to keep waiting for them to catch up. Usually, he was well ahead, surrounded by crows. The birds came and went, and when we exchanged words, he always knew things like where Blade was, where our troops were, where there was resistance to the Taglian advance, and where there was none. He knew that Mogaba had sent cavalry north to blunt our advance. It was weird. The man just plain knew things he should not. Not without walking with the ghost. And One Eye was still ahead of us, making much better time than I would have believed possible had we not been trying to catch him. Croker got over his snit after the first day. He became social again. Headed for the Goja Ford, he asked, "You remember the first time we came here?" "I remember rain and mud and misery and 100 Shadowlanders trying to kill us. Those were the days, Mergen. They were as close to hell as I want to get." And that said from the viewpoint of a man who's been a whole lot closer. He chuckled. "So, thank